This is the regular city council meeting. It's Monday, December 14th, 2015.
Welcome, everyone, to the December 14th regular Odell City Council meeting. You all please rise, and Johnson's going to lead us in a short prayer and in the pledge of allegiance.
Father God, we thank you for letting us all be here today. We thank you for the many blessings that have bestowed upon this city. And we ask that you continue to do so. We ask that you'll be with us here tonight. We just guide us in our decision-making and make the best decisions for the city and its citizens. Let's be praying.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight to this city council meeting. We have an agenda, and we'll go through those items on the agenda. If you're here to speak with regard to the proposed ordinance to establish standards for keeping chickens and rabbits, that appears just a little bit later here on the agenda, and I'll give you guys some instructions and you'll have an opportunity to speak. So we'll move to item 1.3 on our agenda, which is the roll call, and I see that all council members are present. Item 1.4 is citizen input. I would ask if you're going to speak to the chicken proposed ordinance to establish standards for keeping chickens and rabbits, to reserve your comments for that portion of the meeting tonight. Any other items that a citizen would like to address the Othello City Council, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. You can come to the microphone. You'll have up to 5 minutes to address the council with any topic that you like. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council with any topic other than chickens and rabbits? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of tonight's agenda, item 2. We have an agenda tonight. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda for this evening.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item 3, consent agenda.
I do have a question with one item on 3.3.
Yes.
I would like to have, going through the accounts payable today, there was one invoice for spokesman review. I'd like to pull that, have that one pulled off for further review until it's signed off by department head and what the ad was for.
That would be fine. I did speak with Terry about that payable, and it was for the ads that were posted for the open positions.
Okay.
But I can pull that, and we can get more information for you if you wish.
Okay.
All right. With that exception, I would entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We're going to move on to our current business, item 4.1, water tower maintenance contract. Terry, do you have some information for the council?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight we're going to bring back in front of you the water tower maintenance contract. We regionally had adopted or signed and agreed to a 3-year. We also had worked at proposing a 7 maintenance contract to work through. And due to some regulations with the state, we couldn't do 7 years. We had to return to a 3. But tonight I've got with me John Kitchen from Utility Services to explain the verbiage and the language that was changed in order to roll this over into 7. So tonight I'd like to introduce John Kitchen with Utility Services.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Terry. Mayor, Council, thanks for your time tonight. I have a brief presentation to cover. I think a lot of you have seen the presentation or the majority of the presentation about a year ago from now when we did the 3-year contract. So this is kind of a review of where we've come since then, some history of where we've started and where we're at now. So real quickly here. So The main topic for tonight, is to talk about transitioning from a three-year program to the seven-year program, as you call it, or the ongoing maintenance program, which is what we originally had discussed and are now looking to transition to. Kind of our history with the City of Othello. I first started working with the City of Othello in 2011. In 2012 and 13, we identified some repairs that needed to be done through a visual inspection on all of your tanks. So we came in and did a series of upgrades on the safety climbs and some of the ladders, some of the vents on the Lions Parks tanks. In 2014 is when we came and discussed doing the long-term full-service maintenance program on your reservoirs, and that's when we discovered that there was some concerns with the law doing a long-term contract, and we couldn't extend beyond 3 years. So last year, 7/29/14, we did a three-year program. We modified that from the long-term to a shorter term, and we took away some of the benefits gets taken away when we go to a shorter term contract. So since that time, we've gone to legislature in Olympia and worked on getting some laws changed, worked in conjunction with the City of Quincy to do that. We also finished renovating your 1 million gallon park, Lions Park tank, which I was sitting at earlier today. Looks really good. So if you guys have noticed that as well and noticed how much better it is than it was. So House Bill 1989, this is the law that we worked on changing in Olympia. On February 5th, it was introduced by Representative Dents, which is the representative just north of you guys out of the Quincy area. It was supported by Mayor Henberry and Tim Sneed, which is the city administrator there in City of Quincy. They came over to Olympia and testified in favor of the bill. It went through both the House and the Senate over there unopposed, which in Olympia I think is kind of a miracle to happen. Anything that goes through unopposed over there. So we were happy to see that. On May 7th, it was signed by the governor, and on July 24th, it became law here in the state of Washington. This is an excerpt from the Municipal Research and Services Center. This is John Carpina. He's kind of the go-to person for when it comes to contracting in the state of Washington. He wrote a blog talking about the new law, and I'll just kind of read this to you guys real quick. This new law grants cities and towns the authority to negotiate a fair and reasonable water storage asset management service contract with firms that submit the best proposals for services such as financing, designing, improving, operating, maintaining, repairing, testing, inspecting, cleaning, administering, or managing water storage assets. The legislature defines water storage assets as a water storage structures and associated distribution systems such as water tanks, towers, wells, meters, and water filters. So really what it allows us to do is a long-term ongoing maintenance contract that covers all aspects of that asset, whether it's a tank, a well, whatever it may be. So really the business model we're talking about when we talk about asset management is kind of taking all the parties that typically get involved with any public works project and simplifying it down to where we have the city or the tank owner, we have the company that's going to be responsible, and then we have the asset. And so the benefits of this would be if anything happens to that asset during the renovation process, afterward, anything happens, there's nobody to point a finger at. Ultimately, if we paint your reservoir and a problem happens, the problem comes back to us and we solve it. We repaint the tank, whatever it may be at our expense. So it kind of takes away having everybody involved, and when something goes wrong, nobody takes responsibility to. If something goes wrong, there's one person to hold accountable, which would be utility service. So this is, I think you guys have this in front of you as well. This basically just defines the difference between the three-year contract, which you currently have, into the perpetual maintenance program, which is what we're looking to transition to. Some of the high-level differences would essentially be the perpetual warranty versus what you currently have as a three-year warranty. So we renovated those tanks in the three-year program. We're just looking to transition it to the long-term program where we take full responsibility long-term for these assets. Other things would be emergency services. If there's graffiti, bullet holes, lights go out, things like that, ultimately comes back to us. We take care of all that maintenance on the reservoir. Again, the renovation process, whether it's the current one we're doing now, but it happens again in 10 to 15 years, we come in and renovate those again at our expense, essentially. So whether the coating lasts the full cycle that we expect it to, or if it fails early, it's on us to make sure that asset is maintained in a like-new status. So this is what we're currently under right now. So we renovated the 1 million gallon tank in the first year. We're scheduled to renovate the 3 million gallon tank in the second year, and the red and white tank is currently not scheduled to be renovated under the current three-year program. What we're looking to transition to is a long-term program where we have both the 1 million gallon park tank is already renovated. We're going to renovate the 3 million gallon park tank next spring. And then we're looking at doing the red and white tank in about 3 to 4 years from now. That's really all I had on the program. I guess I have any questions for me. Really, what we're trying to do is transition from a 3-year to an ongoing program.
Council. Kelly, you had some...
I do. I have a few comments. So I originally looked at the contract that was proposed by Utility Services Thursday of last week, made some suggested changes, got those back this morning, was reviewing those. Nothing looks out of the ordinary. They accepted most of the changes we had, and they are reasonable. What the issue that came up, though, what I didn't realize, I had a few conversations with the city, was that we'd already entered into an agreement back in July of 2014, which is before Lukens and Annis was your city attorney. So the issue is, this would have fallen under normal public works bidding procedure, and that is the law that applied to it at the time when you guys initially entered into the contract. Now, in July this year, what was enacted allows a much different process. They just send out notice, and whoever you can negotiate with the most qualified person who submits some type of proposal. It's very truncated, much less formal. The issue is when you extend from a 3-year contract to a 7-year contract as proposed, do you have to go through the process required by the law? And the law that's passed doesn't deal with that. So we're left with analogous law interpreting the public bidding requirements, other public bidding requirements. And there's a bit of an issue. It depends on the language of the previous contract. I haven't had an opportunity to review the previous contract, so before I could say that the city should enter into this agreement, I need to review that. It won't take me very long. I just wasn't able to do it today before today's city council meeting. I do not believe this is an issue that needs to wait to the next city council meeting for you guys to approve. One thing that the city could do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, is if you passed a resolution authorizing the city administrator or the public works director to, after council, legal counsel has had a chance to make sure that we can enter into the contract in this way and that has all the terms necessary in it, that then they would have authority to do that. And we could get to execute the contract if you're satisfied with the terms of the contract, which you've all had a chance to look at, I hope. Mm-hmm. And that way we can expedite this. We can get it done this week and not have to wait for the next city council meeting, but then we'll have the assurance that legal's had a chance to fully look at all the issues that it presents. So I think it's the most expeditious way to get this done, but make sure it's done right.
We didn't start, the previous administration started on the bid proposal and went through the whole process. It was voted on in council through the previous administration to accept the 7-year contract. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until we started to execute the contract that we found out you had to do a 3-year contract.
Correct.
So it was, that bid process had already gone through. All those steps had been done. And right. The previous administration voted on accepting the contract for 7 years.
Right. But then what the contract that was entered was a 3-year contract. So there still is the legal issue of whether or not the contract that was actually executed, whether or not we have authority to go ahead and enter into a new contract without going through any public process, because the new law doesn't get rid of any public process. It just provides a much more streamlined, easier to manage process. So the question still arises, to amend that contract, do we have to go through that process? And that's something I need to look at more closely to give, for lack of a better term, my stamp of approval. But I can get that done easily this week. And my commitment to you is that I would have that done by Wednesday of this week, that we would have an answer.
Is that okay, Council?
Well, I would I don't want to go through the whole bid process all over again, because they've got ongoing work that needs to be done, and these bid processes take time. And they've got scheduled work to take place in, you know, in spring. So.
Well, and I understand that. But for expediency, I mean, the legal issues are out there, and I know it would be much more expedient just to go with it and do it, but expediency wouldn't shield the city from any liability or for any consequences for not following a required process. However, and also just say about the bidding process, under the new law, you don't have to go through, it's not even really a bidding process. It's a misnomer to call it a bidding process. My expectation is that we're not going to have to go through any process, is that we can probably just go ahead and amend this contract the way it is. But I can't say from a legal perspective with any kind of guarantee without having to be able to look at the prior contract and look at the issues that are involved, whether or not the city can do that with any measure of comfort.
Okay. Council? Should we, I need a motion to authorize the administrator or the public works director to execute the contract upon legal review.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 4.2. Public hearing on the proposed ordinance establishing standards for keeping chickens and rabbits inside city limit. I'd like to open this public hearing at 7:18 p.m. And we have a brief presentation by the police chief. We had been through the ordinance. We went through it at length at our last meeting. And then there was a couple of changes that were made, and I think the chief was just going to give us an update on what changes had come from that last meeting to tonight.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm going to walk through this very quickly again. I've tried to incorporate all of the comments that I heard from Council. Again, it's three chickens or three rabbits under 2 months. We did add Section F under 6.12.030, so that would allow chicks and rabbits at commercial places when they're for sale, so that would allow Dells to legally have them in town. We added under 6.12.040, I combined the words coops and run, so it's a combined 10 square feet per animal, so that way we didn't have, I think it was kind of confusing in there. Section E of that same section, Mr. Lawless allows or causes the inspections so that the code enforcement officer will inspect them before the license is issued. And then we did add on 6.12.070 the violations. Again, it's a C11 penalty, and I forget about how much that was. I think it's about $160. It allows a revocation of the license if there's a violation besides the penalty. And then if they continue keeping the animals past a point where they're either not licensed or the license has been revoked, it would allow for the seizure of those animals and the storage fee. The storage fee I modeled after what we're doing with dogs right now, which is $5 a day. Per animal, that we hold them for 72 hours for them to correct the issue. At the end of the 72 hours, the animal is either destroyed or transferred. So it's the same process that we're doing with dogs and cats right now.
Thank you, Chief. At this time, I'd like to open public testimony for anyone who would like to speak with regard to this ordinance. There are three portions. The first is those who will speak in support. The second will be those who are neutral to this proposal. And then the last will be those in opposition to this proposed ordinance. And we have two council members absent at our meeting when there was some considerable discussion took place. So With that, I would like to lead with Dina Witzke, who would give us a brief overview of the information she had given us at the last meeting.
I guess it was Angel and Eugene that were here, and I've talked to you since then, but just kind of went over the fact that chickens are not noisy and that they pretty much go into their coop by sundown, so there won't be any clucking at night or early morning. I also talked about being able to compost the manure and to turn it into dirt. It does not stink. You rotate it. It's just like anybody else would have a compost pile in their yard now. It could just be actually turned into dirt and used in your garden as organic. I also had mentioned that I had spoke to many people in the community. I found three families that were actually interested in bringing three chickens into their home. Pretty much everybody else was said, no, that's cool, but I'm not really interested. And then after talking to a few people about it being a benefit for 4-H and the Adams County Fair, the kids in the town could go out and take their chickens, you know, to the fair and get involved that way. The benefit of the eggs, of course, is huge, and it's 1/3 less cholesterol, 1/4 less saturated fat, 2/3 more vitamin A, 2 times more omega-3, and 3 times more vitamin E, and 7 times more omega carotene, and then a store-bought egg. So I myself would like to have 3 chickens to be able to provide my family with the benefit of those eggs versus store-bought eggs. I think that was kind of a summary of it. If you have any questions.
You also presented a petition.
Oh, well, I had the petition, and then someone had mentioned about how many people live in town. I was assuming that most of them were just community. I have 170, but nobody really wants chickens. So I just really was feeling like, you know, it's hard to get people to say, oh, yay, chickens, if they really don't want them. You know, I actually talked to 2 people in town that have had chickens. One lady was very, very angry that I even brought it up. She said, I've had my chickens here for over 1.5 years, and now I could get in trouble for having my chickens because you're bringing it up. I'm like, well, I was kind of wanting to make it legal, so it was like no big deal. And then I had also talked to communities around us. Carrie at Ephrata, Heidi in Ellensburg had no complaints. They have no idea how many chickens are in town. There's no permit. There's nothing. And they've had zero complaints. Also talked to Anthony and Kennewick. In their ordinance, you can have 6 pets, no more than 3 of any kind. So you could have 1 dog, 1 cat, 1 duck, 1 chicken, 1 rabbit, and 1 pigeon. And other people I've talked to go, oh, you bring chickens in town when the goat's coming. Well, so I thought, well, okay, let's check into goats. So I did research. Goats would not work in town. They're too noisy. And, you know, I remember hearing and reading in the paper about the cat ordinance, about we were going to catch a bunch of cats and take them and spay and neuter them. I was furious. I hate cats. I've never had a cat in my life. Well, maybe one, but I didn't like it. Hated it. But after researching and actually looking into that, it was a great deal. And I'm glad you guys approved that. I would have been totally against it, but taking the time to look into that, we need feral cats around our community. And I just would have never thought about that. So me, myself, I would like to have 3 chickens in my thing that Heather can come and approve and have organic eggs and fertilize my yard.
Do you have any
questions?
Any questions, Councilor? Okay, thank you very much, Dina. Is there anyone else present tonight who would like to speak in support of this proposed ordinance? Yes, sir. Yes, state name and address for the record, please.
My name is Rich Young. Address is 1320 East First Street in Othello.
And I spoke last time too. I just felt I was very negative, so I wanted to turn around and be very positive this time. So I want to thank the Chief Schenck and the Officer Heather Miller for bringing this proposal before the council. I think it's great that we're thinking outside the box and maybe changing something like this, because I think it's very positive for our community, for the environment, for our children. And I think I fall into the camp of supporting it and also not caring too much, because I like to travel during the summer, and it is another responsibility that I'd have to think about as a having chicken responsibilities in our family. But thank you for considering this proposal.
Thank you, Rich. Is there anyone else present who would like to speak in support of this proposed chicken and rabbit ordinance? Yes. Mr. Russell?
My name is Bob Russell. I live at 850 Large Street, next door to Dina. And I do not want to be a chicken farmer. I don't. I don't have any desire to. However, this woman has a right to use her property as long as it doesn't impact me. It doesn't hurt anything. It's her place, as long as she keeps it clean and they don't crow. But we have a much larger problem in my neighborhood with barking dogs and feral cats. There was 140, 150 feral cats rounded up, spayed, and brought back. Well, I bet you don't have that many chickens when this all gets rolling. I really don't. So as long as they don't impact their neighbors, let them go.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions for Mr. Russell? Is there anyone else present who would like to speak in support of this proposed chicken and rabbit ordinance? Dale?
Hi, my name's Dale. I live at 830 East Large. I've lived in Ofella for over 40 years, give or take a few years, and I've been around this city enough to know that we all know there's many more smells out there depending on which way the wind blows, whether it's feedlots, Simplot, onions. So when it comes to the smell of things, I don't think that a chicken's a big issue when it comes to smells and how bad they stink. There's far off worse smells out there in Ofella than three chickens. So that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you, Dan. Is there anyone else present who'd like to speak in support of this proposed chicken and rabbit ordinance? Yes. The lady behind you first, Fran, and then I'll get to you, sir.
Hi, I'm Fran Parker. I live at 1651 West Hampton Road. That's a rural address. I have 22 chickens, laying hens. I grew up having chickens. I lived in Canada. When I was a little girl, I had a pet chicken. Go pick it up. It would sit on my lap. It was a very nice pet to have. I didn't care if it ever laid an egg in its life. A chicken is a very good pet for small children. And I have a friend who told me recently that when she was young, she dressed her pet chicken up in doll clothes, put it in a stroller, and strolled it around. Chickens can be pets. They can also be raised as farm animals. I don't think that... I know that three chickens... I couldn't believe it when I found out that Ofella couldn't have chickens because of living in a rural area. We have rural... icons, rural things depicted on the glass room dividers in the hospital waiting room, because we're proud of our rural agricultural thing we have going on here, and it just doesn't seem to. It just seems very odd that we don't have chickens in town, I guess, because of living where we live. So even though I don't live in town, I would really like to see that chickens are allowed and that children have a chance to experience that. Julie Reed was in charge of the chicken barn at the fair, and she told me how her kids had to bring like over half the chickens that were in the 4-H barn because people don't have chickens, and I would really love to see that expanded. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant. Spencer, could you move that lectern back a little bit so people don't have to look into the...
Oh, yes.
There you go. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Okay, sir. Yes.
Hi, my name is Larry Rimsberg. I'm at 510 North Shelley Avenue. I, like some of the other people, I have no interest in ever having chickens. It's enough with my wife adopting dogs and cats, so chickens we don't need. But what I do invite you to do is embrace the culture of the Columbia Basin that's completely founded on farming and ranching. And I, for one, work in an industry supported by both those. I live 3 or 4 blocks from the two probably largest employers in town based on agriculture. So I ask you to think that all of the Othello City is part of a bigger area all known for farming and ranching, and to think that 3 chickens wouldn't be allowed in a town based on those two industries seems kind of silly to me. So I would hope that you guys could see past the sometimes vocal minority and embrace the culture of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Are there any others here who would like to speak tonight in support of the proposed chicken and rabbit ordinance? Amy?
My name is Amy Hurlbut, and I live at 415 East Rainier Street, and that makes you my neighbor, so I'm glad that you're not upset about the idea of chickens. I wasn't going to talk. I've been asked several times to talk about this, but as the whole 4-H conversation continues, I didn't bring my daughter with me tonight because I didn't think her behavior was as good as it should have been last time, but she was interested in chickens being legal in the city because she wants to do a 4-H project with them. We don't live out in the country anymore, and I was raised doing 4-H and FFA. I raised cows, which are much larger and require farm space, and I was of an age when I began 4-H that I could show an animal of that size. She's 9, but she's about this big, and a chicken or a rabbit or a dog or a cat is about the only thing that she could handle in a 4-H sort of setting that's a live animal project. We have a dachshund, which probably wouldn't work out so great, and kind of on the same team as no cats. So chickens or rabbits seemed like the best thing. We went to the fair this year, and we spoke to a couple people in the rabbit barn, and honestly, the thought never crossed my mind that a rabbit wouldn't be legal in the city limits. And I had her all pumped up and ready to go and talk to rabbit breeders, and it was like, then this came up, and I found out, well, maybe we actually can't do that. So on the chicken front, I would love to have chickens. I've always had chickens. Having the farm fresh eggs would be great. Nice lady in the back would probably lose a customer because I buy chicken eggs from her as it stands right now, but I'd surely be able to do that on my own. And then while we're not talking about them, but rabbits also would make for a great project for my daughter to have in 4-H, and rabbits can be litter box trained if we want to go into all of that sort of domesticated feel of things. I've never dressed a chicken, but rabbits can be indoor pets, just like a dog or a cat can be an indoor pet also. So I guess that's all I have to say. I would be for both of those.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else here present tonight who'd like to speak in support of the chicken and rabbit ordinance? Okay. Is there anyone here tonight who is neutral to the proposal and would like to be recognized? Hearing none, I'll move to those who are in opposition to the chicken and rabbit ordinance. Please raise your hand. Chris?
Chris Doro, 850 East Hemlock. And for the purpose of what I'm going to testify to, Senior Vice President of the Pacific Flyway of Ducks Unlimited, and also the founding initial chairman of the Washington Fish and Games Waterfowl Advisory Board. I'm still a member of that. It is very difficult to come up here and speak in opposition to this with so much passion and so many good reasons to be passionate about having chickens. However, there is a major concern of mine based on my experience, and that's avian flu. Avian flu is a huge issue based on my experience and the positions that I'm in. 4 years ago, it showed up in Washington, and it is explosively invasive among chickens. There have been two cases in that 4 years that have shown up in the domestic chicken population. Both of those cases came from backyard chicken coops, unfortunately. One of those was in Clockham County, and one of them was last January in Benton County. My concern with allowing this ordinance is the fact that you all could put an ordinance into place that could open the door to having an impact on a multi-million dollar industry. We have lots of migratory birds flying through our town. I had two doves at my bird feeder this morning, and they are heavy carriers of that. I would urge the council to vote against allowing this ordinance. I do not want the city of Othello to be responsible for potentially being the cause of an outbreak of explosively invasive avian flu and having a multi-million dollar impact within our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight in opposition to this proposed ordinance? Okay. Is there any staff response at this time to any of the public comment? Okay. With that, I will close tonight's public testimony at 7:38 p.m. And so tonight, Council, you've heard testimony at our last meeting and testimony again tonight from the citizens of Othello. Many in favor of adopting this ordinance, allowing for chickens and rabbits up to three, certain regulation and restrictions, of course. You've also heard testimony against this proposed ordinance. And so at this time, I would entertain a motion one way or another to either approve this ordinance or to reject it.
I'll make a motion to reject this ordinance.
We have a motion made to reject. Is there a second? Okay, that motion fails for a lack of a second. Is there
a motion to accept the ordinance as written, 6.12.5?
We have a motion made to accept.
Second.
We have a second. Is there any discussion the council would like to engage in? Any comments?
Yeah, I don't believe that the city has the infrastructure to, if there was an outbreak, to deal with it. Not only would we need personnel to deal with that, but we would need money to deal with it, and we don't have that.
I think that would be a public health issue under the, wouldn't that fall underneath the county health officer? I don't know.
So when was the last outbreak, Chris, that you were talking about? 4 years ago? 4 years ago?
2015.
This past January. So what? It only appeared in Washington State about 4 years ago. In that time, you had two outbreaks already. It has not, I should add, it has not gotten into the commercial industry as of yet.
My concerns are that potential.
So how was it controlled, you know?
That's the problem. I mean, you really, in all honesty, you really can't control it. I mean, if your birds come in contact with doves, which they will, your potential is there for this to happen. It's unfortunate. I wish it wasn't that way, but it's reality.
Could that same risk be in effect with it? Absolutely. In the wild population?
It is throughout the entire area. It is a great concern. Ultimately, what you as council people have to decide is whether you are going to put a policy in place. This is a tough one. But it's your policy that unfortunately, could potentially be a source.
I spoke to Benton County Health today, and the avian flu can be present in any population of wild birds, not just waterfowl, not just migratory birds, any birds.
But we're talking about consequences. What were the consequences in Benton County? What was the cost?
What?
You're trying to answer that.
You're
growing out of fear.
Sure.
What was the fear? And what
sure.
Was the
I'm not, again, you know, I'm sorry that I have to speak against this. The fear is what happened in Bend County is you have to suspend all the chicken ranches, you know, the commercial industry. Had to be put on hold until they were proven clear. So there was a lot of production which had to stop because of that. It had dramatic impacts on dollars. Fortunately, it was not found into the commercial. If it gets to the commercial, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars. There's multiple ones around. And those who say, well, there's other areas of slaughter are absolutely correct. It's just whether that is going to take the risk of your town putting policy in place where your town is going to source. It's a tough one. I'm sorry. I think it's a very difficult decision.
You know, and there's right now, there's currently 67% of the communities in the state of Washington have ordinances for chickens, and that's the ones that have ordinances. There's many other communities out there that allow them but don't have them. And some of those are very large cities. City of Seattle, City of Spokane.
This sucks. I hate to talk about this, but they're terrible examples to you. Seattle's horrible as an example because, unfortunately, we are a lot more, we are not as isolated from having a large urban sprawl from our wild areas. Our wild areas are just outside our border. They're here. You know,
how is that spread?
Doves come into this because, like, if you use a city like Chicago, if you use a city like Seattle, there is a lot of isolation. From exposure. In those places, there is some mitigating factors in place. Also, your chicken industries aren't sitting dead center in the middle of Seattle, where unfortunately our commercial chickens are very close to where we live.
But that's why I'm curious, how is that spread? Because you've got three chickens that's going to be in a coop. They're not interacting with the commercial chickens.
They have a cover for protection for predators. Covering those trees, we put a net over the top. The chances of the dove getting in were going to happen.
But feces, water, feathers, and it was all of those things, feces, and all they have to do is poop in the area on the grass and.
Are the most likely to be infected with dove contact? Just sheer numbers, because there's 3,000 chicken ranch, they have more contact.
But the two cases that have come up in Washington have been backyard chickens.
All right, hold on. Okay. I want to bring this back into order. Council, is there any other comments anybody else wants to make? Okay. For purposes of clarification, we've come out of the public hearing. We are on item 4.3, where Council Member John Wallace has made a motion to repeal the ordinance 612 entitled Fowl and create OMC chapter 612 entitled Chickens and Rabbits. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we have a second by Corey. Yep. So with that, All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So just to clarify, Corey?
It's aye.
Aye.
Oh, nay?
Nay.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye.
The ayes have it, 5-2. Thank you, everyone, for participating in the process. You've been very patient, informative, and so now you have the opportunity to be responsible, okay? Let's move on to item 4.4, personnel policy update, and Wade, the city administrator, Wade Ferris, has a staff report.
I give it a minute for the room to settle down here.
Yeah.
Just a patient. Okay, Mayor and Council, for you tonight, and we put on the board docs last week a new person, not new, a revised personnel policy. And just a little background, about a year or so ago, I noticed that there were some changes that probably need to be made. And then about 6 months ago, WCIA started encouraging. Started encouraging their member cities to actually take a hard look at their personnel policy. So about two or three months ago, I tasked Jennifer to go through and started highlighting some of the suggested changes. And so that's what we did, and she got done about two or three weeks ago, and then we started looking at it harder. We sent it through WCIA and also had Kelly look at it here last week. And so in front of you then is changes. Just to summarize, it says here, there were a lot of minor changes, syntax, some formatting changes, some other things that I looked at and had to change some of the wording so it was more clear. And then there were also some major changes, and most of those had to do with some changes in state law and national law that mandated some of the stuff we put in there. Things like religious holidays, domestic violence, Whistleblower Act, name clearing hearing is something that the chief suggested, and that's in case somebody's fired for cause and they want to try and clear their name. Tobacco use and that sort of thing were the major changes. A couple of changes we put in, one of the changes we put in at the request of Mayor Logan was to give him the flexibility to, through the course of a year, to grant some admin time off for employees, for instance, Christmas Eve afternoon, New Year's Eve afternoon, something like that. So a maximum of 8 hours. And we cleared that through WCIA and through Kelly, of course. They said that was good. Some other cities do that. And it would be the mayor's call on that to grant that. So those are the major changes. And so now I ask if there's any questions on the personnel policy, because you all have to basically approve the revised personnel policy.
Council? It's been reviewed. You might want to explain your process you went through with the staff.
And so once the lawyers got done with it, and actually once we got done with staff input from our department heads, that's when we granted by the WCIA lawyers, came back and then some more staff input. It's a pretty exhaustive process. It took us several weeks to really look at it hard, and that's what we've done here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll clear up any mistakes, and my goal would be to about every 2 years to do the same process, hopefully not quite as involved as this one was.
All right, and when was the last time our update had been done? To the personnel
Remember. Yeah,
it's been a number of years.
It's been a number of years.
Yeah, so lots of changes, lots of updates. The staff took it on. They went through the WCIA, which is our insurance carrier, and then also through Kelly. And Kelly, do you have any comment about it at this point?
Well, not really. I mean, it looks like a good personnel policy as it went through the process. I saw it towards the very end. Mm-hmm. I made my edits, and I believe those were incorporated, is my mm-hmm. understanding. And I think it's a good personnel policy.
Okay. This time I'd entertain a motion to adopt our new personnel policy.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any further questions of Wade? Any further discussion? We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much, Wade. We're going to move to item 4.5, accepting the comprehensive plan report. Travis?
Sorry, my leg is asleep from sitting there. I don't know if you had any additional comments or you've had a chance to read much of the comprehensive plan, but when I had given it to you for review, I was hoping that you would get a chance to look at it and give me direction on whether or not I should proceed with the environmental review and the agency reviews.
Yeah, I think we should proceed.
Yeah, I participated from the beginning at the start of it.
Thank you, John.
In planning commission sessions, and I want to commend Travis on doing a really good job. He's very diligent, and he's dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, and I think we have a good plan to move forward with. So thank you very much for your hard work.
You're welcome. What I would need tonight, thank you, Travis and John, spent a lot of evenings, some of them late evenings, going through those meetings. Tonight before the council, we just need a consensus to accept the comprehensive plan report. We're not adopting the plan yet. There's still some work to be done, as Travis pointed out. I'm just looking for an acceptance of the consensus for that. Is there everybody in favor? Generally of accepting this plan report?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And let me, just really quick, I have to compliment you too. How well, it's completely different from the first one that was proposed to us a couple years back. So much more better work put into this one. And as a Adams County Development Council member, we're looking forward to this one because this is another tool we can also use in development within the city. We just passed our plan through the ACDC the last meeting, and we're looking forward to seeing the completion of this one.
Thank you, Travis, again. Okay, tonight we're going to continue on our agenda to item 4.6, marijuana moratorium ordinance. And Kelly, you have a report.
Yes, just a brief report. So last city council meeting, November 23rd of this year, the council, there was a public hearing on extending the current marijuana moratorium for another 6 months. We heard public testimony on that. I also, at my report at that time, recommended extending the moratorium one last time to give us time to do our work and provide you with report and information so that the council can make a decision first to the Planning Commission and then upon their recommendation to City Council on what you want to do with marijuana production, distribution and retail sales here in the city of Othello. And that research is necessary so that you know the secondary impacts, if any, of those activities in the city, and if there are secondary impacts, how the city could go about mitigating those. So we look to be getting that done as soon as possible, but certainly well before the six-month moratorium would expire, so we can get this issue behind the city. Move on.
So what I need tonight is a motion from the council to adopt the six-month moratorium.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.7, ordinance to amend the Othello Municipal Code enforcement of lien fees to reconnect water service. And Spencer has a report for the council.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Turning the lectern apart, I apologize for that. I met with
city administrator and our public works director last week in conjunction with our water committee. And we wanted to discuss a couple of rates at that meeting. And we came away from that meeting with a proposed ordinance for discussion and possible approval tonight at tonight's meeting. And so I want to go through a couple of the things that we discussed at that meeting. These are the two fees that we're proposing increases. Ultimately, these fees that we're proposing are with an intent to recoup costs that the city incurs with specific activities around the city. The first is turning water on and off for non-payment. There is a cost to the city when we do that that is incurred on behalf of individuals that aren't paying their water utility bills. And then the second one is a seasonal on and off fee for those that are going south for the winter. The proposal is a $15 off and a $15 on fee. And I have a spreadsheet here that I'm going to bring up that gives the support for the $40 and the 15/15 fee.
That we can talk about. There are a few things here.
Just right at the very top, those are the two fees that we're proposing changes to. The 5 to 40 and the $0 for the seasonal, 0 to 15 off and 15 on. The late fee and the call out fee, we're not proposing any changes to those costs there. There are a couple pieces of information here. I want to jump down and look at this. Oops, went down too far. Look at this first. This is where we calculated the $40 and the 15 for on and 15 for off. Ultimately, we're looking at the cost of personnel and the equipment, and we're just trying to create a one-for-one recoup. These fees aren't intended to make money. It's intended to pay for that service. So there's a cost breakdown here. I have a couple of comps down here. City of Quincy, City of Wellness Lake. Quincy, for the late fee, has 40 to turn off, 40 to turn on. Moses Lake has a late fee of just $30, and then they each have an on-off fee for seasonal. Quincy's $39.95, and Moses Lake's is 15 for off and 15 for on, similar to what we're proposing. There are a couple other things to think about. I can't scroll it up any higher. A couple other things to think about. The average monthly turn off for non-payment, we typically have about 20 a month. And seasonal, we don't have a whole lot of those a year. I was talking with our utility biller and we were thinking about 7, not a whole lot. And then these are a couple of the losses that we discussed during our water committee meeting that are also helpful FYIs. The first one, when public work employees are doing this, they're not doing something else. That's hard to quantify exactly, but that's lost productivity on behalf of our public work employees. The second one down here, if we have an average of 20 accounts a month that are out for non-payment, the average due was about $300 when we looked at the list. That's about $6,000 that's not collected for the month. Hopefully it's collected at a later time, but it's a lost revenue for that time. And then there's also the cost of the employee time going out addressing those on-off fees, which is the $39.40 multiplied by the 20. So it's $788 about. I wanted to mention something up here with the personnel cost. We're estimating it takes about 15 minutes for an individual to go out and do this. The reason off is more than turning on is for the safety factor. We have two people go out to turn the water off because that can be dangerous. Terry can speak to that if you want him to, I'm sure. And And then people are always happy to have the water turned back on, so we only need one person for that. So we just have one there. On this sheet, I also included a brief history of the water turnoff fee for non-payment. So you can see back to 1955, that was $10. This is the ordinance number over on this side. So it went from $10 to $4 to $5. In 1999, it went up to $25 in May, and then went back down to $5 in December. I was looking at the minutes from those meetings, and there wasn't a whole lot of discussion why. One council member mentioned something about this being in place to recoup the cost, which is similar to what we're talking about tonight. And then a few said, well, we don't think we need to have it up there. Let's leave it at $5. And there wasn't a lot of discussion for that side of the reasoning. So tonight, we can talk a little bit about this, answer some other questions. Maybe members of the Water Committee can talk about some of their thoughts. And ultimately, we have an ordinance for your review and approval tonight, if you wish.
Thank you, Spencer. Council?
I'd like to speak to the ordinance. Under the 1216-260, the first paragraph, I think it should state water fees shall be charged to the customer and not water will be charged to the customer. And then I'd like a clarification on Section D, the fees as described in subsection C of this section may be waived as determined by the Public Works Director and scratched out for non-emergency water situations when the water meter is turned on and turned off for repairs only.
Yeah.
Give me an explanation of what that represents, because if a licensed contractor is doing repairs on a home, you should have every right to go out and turn the water off to make the repairs to be able to, and not have to call out Public Works and wait 4 to 5 hours for somebody to show up to do the job. If he's a licensed bonded contractor, he should be able to make that
with a permit.
Usually, as soon as
on a permit to do a building permit or whatever.
Usually, I believe the city policy, and correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, but the city policy is that only city employees turn on and off the water meters.
Yes.
And they try to, as soon as they get a call for a turn off, they're out the door, and so there's no waiting 4 hours to get it done.
We took out that one line there because we thought it was kind of confusing. I met with Wade a little bit earlier this morning, and we weren't quite sure what the non-emergency situation was. We thought this should apply for emergency or non-emergency the same. That's the only reason for that one change.
Carrie, did you want to make mention about just your process?
I'm trying to understand what John's saying there. Can you explain a little more what you're...
Okay, so I want to do a remodel on my bathroom in my house.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, I have to move the water lines. So I have to shut the water off to my house to cut into my water lines so I can move them.
Mm-hmm.
So I call you,
mm-hmm.
and I ask to have my water shut off.
Correct.
And I have people there waiting to work.
Correct.
You will respond?
Yes, we have. Okay. We do, and we don't charge for that kind of stuff at all.
Okay.
That's where the waive part comes in. The part that we're actually would be charging for is the people that say that they need it shut off because of an emergency and they get out there and they broke their line, doing something, or they've been in the box and added something to the box and it didn't work out properly, which created our time spent without them calling in and just taking it upon themselves. So there's a lot of discretion goes into that. But if you were doing what you're saying you do, we don't charge for a fee for that.
No, I wasn't concerned too much about the fee because of the exemption from C, but I'm just trying to get a clarification of where ownership of a household water source starts, so that they can control it to their own residence, you know, if they want to do repairs, they want, you know, things done to their home.
Everything.
You can put a shut-off valve between the meter and your home if you want. Then you can control it.
Everything beyond.
On the homeowner's side of the backflow prevention? Because where's the court now at?
It's out in the street. The responsibility of the property owner is after the meter. If, in most of the houses that, Olson Home builds has a shut-off valve in the closet. We just addressed one of those today.
So we go court stock, flow meter, and backflow preventer?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the homeowner could actually go out and shut the backflow preventer to keep water from coming into his property?
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
So we'd have to call the city?
That's correct. Anything after the meter, they can take on themselves.
But I can attest, though, we did a remodel not long ago, called them up, Johnny on the spot, boom, they were there, they took care of us.
The thing about that.
They messed something up.
About that, John.
It's my fault. They messed up.
That's why.
It's their fault.
That's why the city wants to control that. Because we've got meters that have been laying there for a long time. You know, they're fragile and you can, you know, they can break. So now you're going to go do it on your own on the other side of it. So if that hasn't been tampered for years, you're running the risk of that breaking too. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The court valve, yeah. Meter, the back.
Yeah.
I can control.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You want it?
That's it.
Anybody else have any further clarification they need? Okay. This time I'd entertain an ordinance to amend the OMC 12-16-330.
With that one exception, please.
It should be ordered.
I'm sorry?
Well, I had
turned off the line. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So,
apologize.
On turning on and off, if I want to turn it off because I want to do some work to my house, I can, you know, I can vouch to that, you know, as far as you going out there and turn it, you know, paying that fee to turn it off and turn it on. I mean, because you want it done right there and now.
Yeah, but you can.
But if you look down here in the seasonal, which you only have seven, I think there's time there if somebody's going to take off. You don't have to go out there, you know, that day. You can kind of log that in before the billing cycle. So I'm against the 15 on, 15 off as for the seasonal, but I'm for the fee if you have to repair your line to get charged that fee. If you got to go out there that same day. Because I think, you know, seven, and I think you guys are out there enough, I think that can be worked into where that fee doesn't have to be charged.
I think I don't believe that seven is accurate. I don't think that number is totally accurate. I think it's more than seven.
So the other one's more than 20 than two, then?
I don't know what that number is. I don't remember that. But I do know that when we do seasonal, people want to go south, and I say south, not derogatory, but if they go south, they request it to be turned off, and the utility builder wants a read. So whether we do it tomorrow or we do it that day, we still incur the cost of the truck time, the employee's time. We're still doing just that. If we go out there and we turn the meter off, it may be a week later that they want irrigation off. So we'll go back to the same residence and shut irrigation off, which is potable water they use for irrigation. So that seven, I don't believe is correct. I've seen more than seven come across my desk for that. And we get a lot of those down towards the end of the year. October, when irrigation goes off in the canal, people want to shut them off. But we do still incur the cost, whether we go out to do somebody else's and we cut across town to do that one. We get a slip from utility billing. We respond to it as quick as possible in that nature.
I think if you call 2 days after the billing cycle now, I'm going to get billed for that month. Plus, I got 28 days there that really you got to you have time to go shut it off. That's my opinion.
But doesn't the billing stop from the time you're on that vacation hall?
Well, not if you take 2 days after the billing cycle, you're going to get billed for the month.
Yeah, no, you don't get billed for the whole month, I don't think.
It's prorated.
Yeah, that month is prorated.
It's billed for the whole month.
The whole month.
Yeah.
I think that's what I read. Yeah. So now you're billing, you're paying for the whole month for 2 days usage. Now you got to pay 15 to shut it off and turn it back on. That's my, I mean, 7 is, I don't know, I'm against that myself. But
this.
Maybe not.
So we've had
It says here that if, only if it's turned back on, they're charged for the full month. If it's shut off and turned back on within the same month, that it's, they have to cover it to. They still, if it's on seasonal hold, they're still being charged for the entire month?
But I don't think seasonal is a month.
If they use part of the month, then it's for that month. Just that month.
They can charge the fee based upon the meter size.
Right.
But they're not charged.
And then we don't need the meter in charge of running water for the employees.
I see the $15, Angel, just as a fee of going out there.
Yeah, it's the cost.
Paying for the employee.
I see that too. I see that too, but I think there's enough time within the month to schedule it in. I mean, there, how many trucks we got cruising around, Terry? I mean, doing work, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't need you right now to go shut it off if I'm going to fix the line.
Right.
You know, if you're going to go that way 3 days later, if you got a call to shut it off, you don't have to make that trip, right? You know, right here now.
I could kind of see your point because we did have, I know of one circumstance down on Third Street. Home was owned by somebody. They lived out of town, but they'd come and visit the home once every couple weeks. They would have it turned on when they'd come and visit. When they left, they'd have the water turned off. 3 weeks later, they were back in town for a couple days to work on the house, have it turned back on.
Well, you build old guys.
And it was a problem. There wasn't really a clear circumstance for it. And I think you're a little familiar with it, Debbie, the particular one. And so
the Pullman's service and the wire that they use. But you're correct. They would come in, be here for 4 days, water, and shut off. And so
Public
Works is going out twice.
They're making,
I don't call that seasonal, so yeah, you'd bill them.
Yeah.
Spencer, anything else to add?
Well, so we have a proposed change to the wording up top. Water shall be charged to the customer. In this
water
section,
fees.
Sorry.
Water fees.
Water fees yeah. shall.
Just water.
That's what I want to say. And I have one thing to add. Actually, looking at this, I think it should be water. There are fees for turning water on and or off. Will be charged to the customer because that's really what we're talking about in this ordinance. If you just say water fees or water will be charged to the customer, then you create an ambiguity in the whole ordinance scheme on being charged for water service. So it should be, this ordinance should be in the preamble and the introductory language limited to fees for turning the water on and or off will be charged to the customer in the following circumstances.
So those corrections made, we can still make a motion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'll make a motion to accept this ordinance with the condition that the preamble be changed to define the fees associated.
Yes.
With that ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries 6-1.
Can I move the second?
Eugene. Okay. We'll move to item 4.8, ordinance to amend the 2015 budget. Spencer?
Thank you very much. This is a quick cleanup item that probably should have been included in our budget amendment that we passed through council about 3 weeks ago. When we pass a budget, we have X dollars that are approved to be spent out of each one of the city's funds, and we're not allowed to exceed those funds. This fund right here, 231, this is the fund that we paid the city hall, that we made the payments on the city hall bond with. And when we built that budget, we included the debt service payments per the amortization schedule. But then there were some other fees. They're just called the admin fees. We included $300 for the year for those fees. They came in actually at $425, another $125. So my proposal is that we increase the budget in that fund by $125 to cover those other admin fees that weren't anticipated. Well, for this one it is, because this bond is no longer being paid on. Is done. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. It's just a one-time deal for $125.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why the? Why $125 more?
Well, the fees in the past have been right about $300, and so that's what I have just been bringing forward. And the fees, they increased partially due to a sale of those bonds from one Bank of New York Mellon to U.S. Bank, and some of their fee schedule changed. I think it was due to that change.
Council?
I move to adopt the ordinance amending the 2015 budget.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to move to item 4.9, dedication of the Disney McFarland USA poster. Earlier this year, the mayor of McFarland, USA, who was an Othello High School graduate, presented the city with a gift, which was a poster, which I'm about to unveil and has now been framed. And before I do that, I want to read this proclamation, which I read earlier this year. Whereas the city of Othello affirms our friendship with McFarland, California. And whereas the City of Othello congratulates the City of McFarland, California for being the originating community for a Walt Disney movie based on a true story about teenage, hardworking field workers who were transformed into being the first McFarland High School cross country champions in 1987 with the encouragement of Coach White, who never gave up on the team's potential. And whereas we have a strong connection with the current mayor of McFarland, California, Manuel Cantu Jr., as he is a 1988 Othello High School graduate. And whereas the city of McFarland and the city of Othello both face the same problems, difficulties, and challenges that can best be answered in collaborating through an exchange of information, ideas, and problem solving to make our cities a great place to live, work, raise a family, and enjoy our communities. Whereas the city of McFarland and the city of Othello correspondingly resemble each other with relevance to employment, demographics, economics, culture, and other characteristics. We also share similar visions for our communities. Now, therefore, we resolve to enter into a cooperative relationship of support and friendship to enhance the visions of, for the communities of McFarland, California, and Othello, Washington. And I signed this on the 27th day of April, 2015. And now, I am going to unveil this poster that was signed by the members of the team and Coach White, where champions can come from anywhere in McFarland, USA, and we are going to display this in the lobby of the Othello City Hall along with the proclamation. And now we move to an exciting time of our agenda. 4.10, oath of office for newly elected officials. All those newly elected officials, would you please congregate down below? And that includes Larry McCourty.
After me, raise your right hand, please. I, and repeat your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the Organic Act and laws of the State of Washington, and that I will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of the office of City of Othello Council position according to law, to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So when did that get happen? Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Larry. Next item I have on my agenda, I have the distinct honor to present a plaque to Ken Johnson as his final Othello City Council meeting after 14 years. I think that deserves an applause. Ken, I think I first met you when we were in our 20s, and I've watched you. We're involved in a lot of community service organizations, the JCs, among others, and I'm going to read a list of those accomplishments in a moment. But one of the things that Ken did is he had the wisdom to marry a young woman named Heidi, and they've had some wonderful kids, some of which are my daughter's good friends. And I just want to say about Ken, he's always been engaged in the city council. He's always, pulled the community whenever there were issues that were of any type of importance or controversy, and he was informed about those issues. He really helped the city council earlier this year in preventing and averting taking action that would have caused us to potentially be involved in litigation. And that's just one of the things that I'm aware of. We're going to miss the experience of the 14 years and the history that he has. But before I present this plaque, I do want to read some of the accomplishments and whenever you've been on the council that long, you've served on just about every committee. In addition to that, Ken is also on the Adams County City Fire District Committee, the Adams County Comprehensive Economic Development Study Steering Committee, the Adams County Development Council, the Adams County EMS and Trauma Council, the Adams County Fire District Fire Suppression Council Committee, the Adams County Solid Waste Advisory Committee, the Auditing and Finance Committee, Beautification Committee for Main Street, the 2000 Budget Committee, the Streets Budget Committee, the Contracts Budget Committee, the General Government Budget Committee, Law Enforcement Budget Committee, the Cable Franchise Renewal Committee, the Caboose Committee in 2004 and 2010, the Centennial Celebration Committee, the Comprehensive Plan Review Committee, Fire Chief Selection Committee, Fire Department Consolidation Committee, Firemen's Relief and Pension Board, Fireworks Restrictions Committee, Law Enforcement Committee, Legislative Committee, Local Emergency Planning Committees, PAID, the Parents Against Illegal Drugs, the RV Committee, the Transportation Benefit District. He served as the Vice President of the TBD for the last 3 years. The Transportation Benefit District Audit Committee, the Union Negotiating Committees. He's been a council member in 2000 to 2006, and then 2008 to 2015. He was elected mayor pro tem and has served in that position since 2009 to tonight's present through tonight's meeting. Ken's also been involved in many other community projects and organizations, including the Othello Christmas Basket Program, which I believe is this Saturday. What time does that start? 8 o'clock this Saturday at the fire department, the fire hall. He's been on the Adams County Fair Board. He was a member of the Othello JCs and the Sun Fair committees. Ken was the pyrotech and volunteer for the community fireworks display. The public was held at the 4th of July. He was also, he's also a volunteer firefighter. He's been a board member of the Rodeo Association and a deacon in the Pine Street Baptist Church. And tonight, in Ken's last meeting, I have the distinct pleasure of presenting him this plaque that says, Kenneth Johnson, in recognition of your commitment to the citizens of the city of Othello, and it gives the years that you were council member and mayor pro tem. And I have the distinct honor of congratulating you, Ken, tonight. I've asked Ken to say a few words, so I'm going to give him the floor. Ken? I'd like to add that there is a brief reception for Ken immediately following the conclusion of tonight's meeting here So please enjoy. I see he's brought his family. His grandkids are here. And we just want to welcome you and thank you for coming. I tried to get Heidi to come up and read Ken's accomplishments, but she deferred to the mayor this time. So, but I do want you to mingle and visit with all of us and after the meeting tonight. So we'll move to item 5. Thank you, Ken. That was very good. Unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Hearing none, we'll move to item 6, new business. There's Debbie, maybe you could speak to what you have for the rest of the year. Is there anything that you have on the agenda? Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything on the agenda for December 29th. I'm not sure what you said. So, we would like the council to consider counseling the December 28th council meeting. If there's a need, we can call for a special meeting if needed.
Mm-hmm.
With 24 hours notice.
Okay. Council? Is that acceptable to cancel the meeting on the 28th? All right. Do I need a motion? Yep, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to cancel the 28th meeting.
Angel is seconded. Gina made the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And also under new business, I would like to bring up the idea of changing the meeting times of our city council meetings from 7 o'clock to 6:30 p.m. Is that acceptable to the council? I need a consensus to move forward to change our ordinance, because we have an ordinance 2.04 that says our council meetings, the dates, and that the time is at 7 p.m. Is there any objection to changing it to 6:30?
It's a tight. I'll be running through the door a lot, so.
Well, that's why we didn't do it at 6.
So, I mean, as long as y'all put up with me running through the door, I'm good with it.
Okay. You're good, Mark? Okay.
You don't get a
vote. I know, he is voting.
Yeah, that's my response. Right.
Yeah, Larry's got, he's got a thumb up. Okay. John, you're good?
I don't care.
I don't have any problem as long as it doesn't affect the gentlemen that have to get off work.
Yeah. Corey, you like 6:30? Okay. Well, let's, if it becomes an issue, we can change it back. Okay.
We'll be all right.
Okay. So I need a motion. No, actually, we need to instruct staff to, just have a consensus to instruct staff to prepare an ordinance for the next meeting. Okay? And then, item 7, the council will receive Planning Commission minutes and department head reports. And having no further business to come before the Othello City Council, I'll close tonight's meeting at 8:34 p.m. to adjourn to a brief reception for Ken Johnson. Thank you.